strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage. Presented by Santan Ford.
Chandler Jones, the new Cardinal sack king. Buda Baker with the sack. Throws end zone for Fitz, goes up, and makes the game-winning catch. Larry Legend does it again.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
The Red Sea is rising up!
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over!
From Cardinals headquarters.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's gonna be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that!
Unleash the fury!
Well, tough news for Wolf right out of the gate here. Might as well just get the bad news out of the way right off the top.
What do you mean?
You know, the job you were so desperately campaigning for.
What are you talking about?
Come on, Wolf. But just between us right off the top. You know, the network analyst gig that Bruce Arians just got that you wanted so badly that you've been working 20 years about for, and you wanted it, and you were bucking for it, and you were campaigning for it behind
Paulie,
the scenes. Well, you know, it went to Bruce Arians. I'm
some
sorry.
Some people do
deal
not
with it,
need
Wolf.
To rule the world, Paul. I'm quite happy right here. Thank you.
Although I'm expecting my phone to ring any moment now. I'm sure he needs a sideline guy. He needs a network sideline guy. I'm sure my phone will ring any moment now.
Can't wait to see that. B.A. and Trent Green.
Oh, yeah.
That ought to be good.
It's like so on, is it not? Sort of like the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and soon to be Mike McCoy on this edition. Are you ready to hear from the offensive coordinator, Mike McCoy, after the big draft where a lot of people have proclaimed the Arizona Cardinals won the draft with a trade up for Josh Rosen?
Yeah, very interesting right here, Paula. You stop and think about it. They lost a head coach that was an offensive-minded head coach. They lost their play caller. They lost their offensive coordinator. They lost their starting quarterback. And go figure, they draft five of the six guys are offensive players. Steve Keim, Mike McCoy, and Steve Wilks doing a great job with the draft, in my opinion.
All right, let's not bury the lead. The Cardinals did answer the QB question. They answered in terms of a future potential face of the franchise quarterback. And I know it was, one of four big questions you had?
Yeah, four big goals I think the Arizona Cardinals had this offseason. Number one, locate a franchise quarterback and acquire a franchise quarterback, right? And hopefully he was going to be a young guy they could develop. Number two would be to rebuild the offensive line, right? Number three, to rebuild the wide receiver room. And number four, find a corner opposite of Patrick Peterson. I think so far they've done three of the four. I think only the fourth, finding a corner opposite of Patrick Peterson, remains.
And there are guys on the market. Very curious to see in the next couple of months leading right up to training camp what Steve Keim might have in mind if indeed there is a veteran corner on the market. But let's get back to quarterback for just a moment, because Josh Rosen is definitely the takeaway, the headline. I mean, there's who you get, and there's what you give up. And for the Cardinals to give up just a third-rounder and a fifth-rounder, Ron Wolfley, the Baltimore Ravens to get out of the second round up to number 32 back into the first round gave up a pair of second-rounders.
Yes.
And that's all the Cardinals gave up, a third- and fifth-rounder to get up to number 10.
Yeah, that's why when somebody told me what the compensation was to move up to number 10, I didn't believe them. I was like, knock it off. You got that wrong, right? You're telling me a 79, number 79 in number 152. I was 104 for a point of reference. A wedge busting fullback out of West by God, Virginia was 104. So you give up a 79th pick and 152 to actually move up five spots, five critical spots in that first round to go from number 15, where you're not going to get one of the big four quarterbacks, franchise type quarterbacks, at least that most analysts said were coming out. You're not going to get him at 15, and now all of a sudden you move up to number 10 and you get the fourth and final that most people believe were franchise caliber quarterbacks. That is, and you get it for 79 and 152. That is stunning.
It's effective when you put a name with a number, Wolf, that paints the picture. I did not realize You were 104.
104. What are you going to say about it, Paulie?
That drives it home.
104.
No, that's really well
overall,
done, actually.
That's right.
No, I mean, seriously. I mean, think about that. I mean, think about it in terms of the Cardinals scouted some 2,000 players for this draft.
Yes.
I mean, think about the talent pool. And, I mean, first off, if you're getting drafted at all, you're the 0.1%, you know, and then to be there around the top 100, no, that is saying something. There's no doubt. And by the way, if you ask Josh Rosen, he'll tell you flat out he's the top quarterback in this draft. He's already said it. If there weren't nine mistakes, there were at least three.
I want to see him do, not say.
All right, we're going to talk about the quarterback next and what exactly we know right here, right now. I'll tell you this much. I've never looked forward to a rookie minicamp like I am this year and seeing Josh Rosen spin the
ding,
football.
Ding.
It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
It is official. The Arizona Cardinals have made a draft day move to acquire Josh Rosen from UCLA with the 10th pick overall in the NFL draft.
Wow.
The grades supported it and was a guy that we liked enough. At the same time, all along, and I talked about this in the pre-draft presser, is not mortgaging the future. And to be able to go from 15 to 10 and give up what we did, we were extremely comfortable with. And Coach and Michael and I talked about it. And again, being able to still preserve our second round pick and not giving up future ones was extremely important to all of us.
The draft day drama and the way that it unfolded there in the first round, I know exactly where I was when it happened. I'm sure a lot of fans, Wolf, you probably remember, boom, that moment when you got the word the Cardinals had made the deal, the Raiders were willing to do the deal. And I'll be honest with you, you know what I thought of? I thought of the Jimmy G trade. I thought of the Niners getting Jimmy G gifted for a second-round pick. And I said, here is the quarterback God sent for the Cardinals, the third and fifth-round pick. And then, boom, you get Josh Rosen. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. Your immediate reaction to that trade when it went down?
Just the remorse that Steve Keim had the year before not drafting a quarterback the last couple of years.
Great point.
As a matter of fact, yep. Right? And that made me think, listen, Steve Keim all offseason said, we're going to be aggressive. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to be aggressive. And, you know, they went out and they signed Sam Bradford, brought him in. And, you know, it's a one-year deal that could be a two-year deal for Sam Bradford, of course. And then they signed Mike Glennon. And everyone was like, I thought you were going to be aggressive. You know, you were going to be, where's Kirk Cousins? Where, you know. And the whole
where's
time.
Where's the $100 million guaranteed?
You know, you might want to be aggressive as well going into draft day. And I think that's probably what Steve Keim was actually alluding to when he said, we're going to be aggressive. And they were aggressive. And yet, to his point, listening to Steve Keim talk right there, the fact they didn't give up a lot of compensation to move up to number 10 and grab one of the four guys that, again, a lot of people felt like had franchise quarterback potential. Lamar Jackson is a guy I think could be a great quarterback in the NFL, but not a ton of analysts were on board. There wasn't a consensus that he was truly a franchise-type quarterback. The other four quarterbacks, for the most part, they were. And yet, somehow, some way, Steve Keim got one of them. And I think they liked more than one.
It's all about you, Josh Rosen, presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. You asked Rosen, and they did at the combine. They said, what separates him from the rest of the quarterbacks? What makes him the number one quarterback in his mind? And he said, his mind, his ability to read a defense, to go ahead and go 1, 2, 3, and 4 on his progressions. Whereas a lot of the other quarterbacks, especially young quarterbacks, will go 1 read, 2 read, and if it isn't there, then they run and they're flushed out of the pocket.
Boy, that is a great place to start. If you're going to build a franchise quarterback, Paulie, the number one attribute he's got to have, he got to be smart.
Yep.
He got to have some smart eyes, Paul.
And I had a chance to talk with Byron Leftwich on draft night at the draft party. The first thing he cited, the accuracy. He said when he went through the film and he watched them all and he watched every game of every big quarterback, accuracy. That's what he's looking for, and that's what Josh Rosen is known for.
Yeah, listen, all of these quarterbacks had a flaw. All of these quarterbacks. And again, that's just going to be the way that it is. The definition of a franchise quarterback has changed in the National Football League. Okay, you're not going to find the Peyton Mannings, the Andrew Lucks. You're not going to find these guys on a common basis anymore. It's just the game is so disparate at the college level as opposed to the pro level. You're just not going to find these guys. Baker Mayfield is a classic example of this, Paulie. Think of the measurables on Baker Mayfield.
Or the lack thereof.
And then think of the fact that he was the first player taken in the draft as a franchise quarterback. The definition of a franchise quarterback has changed. Josh Rosen listed leadership, coachability. These are the question marks that are surrounding Josh Rosen. There's only one way for him to answer those, and that's to walk into this facility and do it right. Do it the right way. Get better as a quarterback. But as far as spinning it, this is, in my opinion, the best thrower of the football coming out.
And once again, we're going to hear from Mike McCoy momentarily here on the Big Red Rage. He's already talked about, along with Steve Wilks, just the effortless manner with which Josh Rosen will throw the football, how efficient he is with his mechanics. I'd say there's really only one thing we know for sure, and that is when people say, and a lot of his ex-coaches said this much, this stage not too big for this kid. That stage just isn't too big for Josh Rosen. It wasn't when he started as a true freshman. It hasn't been so far. He got up and handled all the cameras. He's done all the interviews. He's done it with aplomb. He has looked totally comfortable. In fact, when he was at the press conference, we had a chance to ask him, Wolf, just about the prospect of being a franchise quarterback, if that indeed is in his future, because that's what he was drafted for. How daunting is that?
The biggest thing is knowing that I have careers on my back. I have families, I have kids, and if I don't play well and I don't pan out, people have to get new jobs. People get fired and things happen. So you've got a lot on your shoulders, but I wouldn't have come out and I would have left college early if I didn't think I was ready for it.
That's not the answer I was expecting from a rookie. That's the answer you get from a 5 or 10 year veteran.
Yeah, there's no doubt. An awful lot of empathy being shown towards others right there out of Josh Rosen, right? An understanding of saying, hey, listen, you know what? There's a lot of responsibility that I have based on how I conduct myself, how I go about my business, and whether or not I actually pan out for a guy like Steve Keim or any other talent evaluator or any scout for that matter that hitched his wagon to Josh Rosen and said, this guy is going to be a franchise quarterback. By the way, Paulie, that's how these scouts build their careers. That's how you become general managers in the National Football League. When you're a scout, who do you hitch your wagon to? And does that guy pay out down the stretch?
Earlier today at the Cardinals Charity Celebrity Golf Classic, Patrick Peterson was talking about how he got a text message from Josh Rosen about 10 minutes after his name was called in the draft, that he actually texted Patrick. And Pete Twice said that's the first time a rookie's ever reached out to him. And so when somebody asked him, well, you know, there's this knock on Josh Rosen that he supposedly doesn't love the game, he's like, well, he couldn't tell me that. Based on what I can see, he's all in.
He's got to prove it, too. Show up and prove it.
We're going to ask that question of Mike McCoy. We'll get a scouting report firsthand from the offensive coordinator, the guy who's going to be in that quarterback room with Josh Rosen and Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon. How exactly is that going to play out? 2018 season tickets on sale now, 602-379-0102 or azcardinals.com. It's the Big Red Rage back with Mike McCoy, all presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
The Oakland Raiders have traded the 10th pick to the Arizona Cardinals. With the 10th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Josh Rosen, quarterback, UCLA.
I want to win Super Bowls. I want to be the winningest quarterback in the history of the National Football League. In that pursuit, everything else kind of takes care of itself, the stats and whatever and everything in between. To end your season and be the only team that's actually happy with how the season went, it's an addicting feeling, and I'm just in a nonstop, endless pursuit of that feeling.
That is Josh Rosen, obviously. First-round quarterback, something the Arizona Cardinals have not said since 2006. In fact, Darren Urban, 5 of the Cardinals' 6 draft picks were on the offensive side of the ball. So I think we're sitting next to the guy who obviously had a direct pipeline into the Cardinals' war room. Mike McCoy, Cardinals offensive coordinator, were you or were you not indeed calling the shots during the draft weekend as your wish list? It looked like Steve Keim was just checking one box after another.
I was sitting down in my office. I was patiently awaiting each pick, and the offensive staff was excited after each pick. So it was great. We're really, you know, the scouting department, everybody, Steve, everybody down, you know, really did a heck of a job. The communication between the personnel department and the coaches was outstanding. We had a great draft.
How realistic did you think it really was to get one of the top 4 quarterbacks sitting where you were when the draft started at 15?
Well, sitting at 15, you're kind of like wondering, if are you going to be able to get up at a certain time? You know, what is it going to take to get there? I'm sure, you know, I wasn't in the room for those conversations, so I'm sure there were some interesting conversations leading up to that. And, you know, you spend so much time leading up to that point, going over scenarios, having the mock drafts, having a plan. I think Coach and Steve Keim had a great plan going into it, exactly how we're going to approach it each round, and the hard work paid off.
You've been around a ton of quarterbacks in your career and worked with so many different levels. So for you on a personal level, knowing that Josh Rosen is coming in, does this change your feeling at all in terms of working with this particular quarterback as opposed to all the other ones, or is he just another in a long line of the guys you've worked with?
Well, they're all different. Every quarterback is different. You know, they have their strengths and their weaknesses. I think one thing we're going to do with our entire roster is play to our players' strengths. And, you know, we have some time to figure that out. But, you know, obviously he had a very successful career in college, and we're very fortunate to have him here. And I think, you know, having someone like Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon to learn from, two guys who have been in the league for a while, they've had their ups and downs in the league. You know, they've seen a lot of different things. So to have someone like that come in, and, you know, Sam's already made the statement, you know, how he's going to help him and what he can do. So we've got a great room.
Cardinals offensive coordinator Mike McCoy on the Big Red Rage. And I was talking with Byron Leftwich a couple months ago. It was during a media session. And I asked him for just, you know, a single thing you got to have in an NFL quarterback. He cited accuracy. What else did you need to know about Josh Rosen pre-draft? Leading into this thing, what did you want to know?
Well, we had a great visit, you know, when he came in to visit in the town. You know, at the combine, you only have 15 minutes to go through things, and, you know, they're getting pulled and tugged in every direction. And, you know, after seven or eight of them in a row, they get in your room. You can kind of tell, hey, these guys are, you know, worn out at all positions. And then so in the time we spent with him here going to dinner, just really get to know him as a person and not just as a football player. So, you know, we spent a lot of time, whether it was at dinner or here at the facility, just kind of talking about things and, you know, how he approached each week during the season, you know, what type of person he is, you know, what he likes to do on his free time. Although you just want to get to know the person along with, you know, watching a little bit of film.
Steve Keim said this year they assess the player, the person, and the personality maybe more so than in past years, especially with a quarterback. What is it about the personality you need to know? What'd you find out about Josh Rosen?
Well, especially as a quarterback position, you know, that's usually going to be the face of your franchise. You know, that's just the role you're in. You love, you know, his approach to the game and the way he loves to play. He plays with passion. He's going to be a good leader. You know, I think it's going to be great for him to come in here and like I said, learn from the veterans and just figure out what his role is going to be as time moves forward.
You've mentioned a couple times that the veterans and how Sam already reached out to him. As a coach, as an offensive coordinator, do you talk much with a rookie quarterback in terms of what it might take on this level? Do you leave that to the teammates to kind of fill him in there and you just assume he's going to know what he needs to do as you talk to him? Or do you talk to him about the process of learning, not just the learning?
Yeah, that's going to all come with time. You know, when he comes in here, I believe it's the 10th, they can all come in. There's just so many things you got to talk about with the younger players, how we're going to do things, learning our system. But the one key thing I want everyone, when they come in here, be themselves. He's been very successful for a certain reason. He has a certain approach to the game, but we're going to teach him a lot of things about the game, being a pro. It's not just him, but it's every position, every player.
Well, we can already tell he's competitive based on draft night when he said there were 9 mistakes and he amended that to 3 mistakes ahead of him. We know that. What about this thought that he doesn't love football? Because he said if there's one misconception about him that he's looking forward to proving wrong, that would be it.
You know, when he was here, we had a great meeting. And I think we all know that he loves the game, the way he works, what it means to him, the type of leader he is. So there's a reason why we made the pick we did. So we have all the confidence in the world in him and all the draft picks that we brought in here.
When you look at across the room, you've had a little bit of chance to see Sam and Mike on the field as well at this point. So much of this has been about Josh Rosen the last week or so. But what have you seen from those two, particularly Sam, and getting a chance to be on the field with him?
Well, I think both Sam and Mike have done a great job of, number one, learning our system. That's the big thing. And football's football, but – you know, you call things differently here. Sam was with Josh McDaniels at one time, so there is some carryover. You know, Mike Glennon coming from Chicago, there's some carryover there, but we've changed over time, you know, whether what I've changed, what they've changed in certain places and things like that. But I'm very pleased with the way they've run the show with the offense and the way they've picked it up. And we've got a lot to learn, you know, not just the quarterbacks, but the entire offense. There's time constraints and everything, what we can do on a daily basis or on a weekly basis with the players. So we're throwing a ton at them just so they get an introduction to our system. I look for everybody to improve as an offense as time goes on.
I know Steve Wilks said the other day at the kind of the draft wrap-up press conference, he talked a lot about where you guys were when he first came in, and, mm-hmm. and obviously right after you got hired, and you didn't have any quarterbacks under contract, and now here now, yeah. as the offensive coordinator, you've obviously been through this. You were there when there were no quarterbacks under contract. How do you feel about that quarterback room now? And is there a sense of relief for you, or did you kind of look? It's going to take care of itself. We're going to get to this point. We'll have guys.
Yeah, it's you when you come here, or when we all came here, there wasn't a quarterback on the roster. But that was back in January. You knew that something was going to take place. And even, you know, I've got to remind that I've been a head coach in the league, so I understand how rosters are put together from behind the scenes. As coaches, we're all selfish. We all want a number of players. We want as many as we can get. We want all these great players, this and that. But, you know, it takes time to put your roster together. You know, we're just into May now. The roster is going to change on a monthly basis. There's going to be transaction. Things happen. It's just all part of it. And you know, even during the year, there's going to be injuries that take place. So there's turnover all the time. So we knew at one point in time or at some time we were going to get the starting quarterback. And then there's the process that goes, you go through free agent, and then you come to the draft and all that. So it was just, you know, it was going to take some time.
OC Mike McCoy on the Big Red Rage. So Josh Rosen said there's knowing the offense. And then the other key is knowing your offensive coordinator.
I always compare it to like a Star Trek mind melt. I'm basically trying to take as much as I can of his brain into mine. So when we go on the field, if I'm making a check or I'm making a decision, he in his head is making that decision at the same exact time. Being a quarterback is about being quick and decisive, and as little gray area and buffer between you and your offensive coordinator can be, the better.
Is that what you're trying to achieve?
You guys have got some good quotes from him so far.
Yeah, he's great for us. Yeah, no, he's great for the media.
You guys are loving this.
Yes, he's our MVP already.
No, it's going to be fun. And I think that he made a good point that he's got to understand the game plan inside and out. And I think that's what he's trying to tell everybody, is that we've just got to be on the same page, and it's as a whole entire offense. That's one thing. It's just not myself and the quarterback. It's the entire offense understanding why we're doing things. And I think that's one thing the coaches up in the short amount of time we've been with our offense and the offseason program, we've explained why we're doing things, why we call things. The quarterback has a big role in that.
Okay, so let's get to that. The Y generation. Steve Wilks talked about that. Josh Rosen is a member of the Y generation. You're comfortable with that if you're persistently fielding that question, why? You're good with that.
Everyone's personalities are different in the way they do certain things. And I've coached a lot of great players. They all have a different personality. They have a different reason for doing certain things. And I want the guys to come in here and be themselves. They've been successful for a reason. And the most important thing is that they do it our way. And as an organization, we're going to explain to the players when they first get here, this is the way we do things. And but as leaders, I want leaders to lead.
We kind of chuckle at the mind meld reference by Josh, but in your experience, I mean, does it get to that point? Does the perfect relationship between OC and quarterback become like you're like one, or is that a perfection that you're trying to reach, but that's kind of tough to get to?
Yeah, unfortunately, during the season, I'm probably going to spend more time with him than I am with my wife. So just, you know, you spend so much time with the players and everything, you build those relationships and that working relationship. How you're going to do things on game day, you just we want to have the players go out there and be successful, and you try to prepare. And give them all any little tip you can give them. And with our quarterbacks, you know, they're going to have the freedom to check at the line of scrimmage. That's something I've always done with the quarterbacks. I've coached some great ones, and, you know, they earn that trust that we're going to give them. And you want to give them the tools to be successful. So if they see a certain coverage or there's a certain defense we want to expose, we want them to be able to go out there and expose it. I think that's what he's talking about.
So it sounds like you welcome the feedback from your quarterbacks in that room, both during the week and on game day.
It's not just the quarterbacks, it's entire offense. And I really want them to feel like it's not my offense, it's our offense. It's the Cardinals' offense, so I want everyone to have input into what we're doing. And it's my job to call the right plays and put our team in a position to succeed.
You know, when we come back here on the Big Red Rage, Steve Wilks called Josh Rosen the best passer in the draft. Byron Leftwich cited the accuracy. We want to get an on-field scouting report, what you've seen of him on film. We'll talk about that. And then also, there was an analyst who said Cardinals practice, especially at the quarterback position, is going to be art, quote, end quote, just based on the way Rosen and Sam Bradford throw the football. So we'll get into that a little bit. It's offensive coordinator Mike McCoy and the Big Red Rage. We continue the post-draft edition. Big Red Rage, Darren Urban sitting in for Ron Wolfley briefly here on the Big Red Rage.
With the 47th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Christian Kirk, wide receiver, Texas A&M.
you know, yards after the catch. You know, once I get the ball in my hands, just to be able to naturally just get everything I can out of it and be able to make guys miss and then, you know, go score. Take a lot of pride in that. And it just comes natural to me. And I think it's a huge part of, you know, being a great wide receiver.
Well, nothing like getting drafted and then having a 20-minute commute to your first day on the job. The Scottsdale guy, Christian Kirk, who starred at Saguaro High School, former Cardinals Player of the Week, the state of Arizona, in fact, the High School Player of the Year 2014, made quite an impact as a true freshman at Texas A&M, hoping to do the same as a rookie with the Arizona Cardinals, a second-round draft pick, Paul Calvisi, Darren Urban, and the offensive coordinator, Mike McCoy, on the Big Red Rage. And all right, there you go, Christian Kirk, a guy who's known for yards after the catch. What did you see? What were your takeaways from seeing him on film?
Well, the great thing was we had a great meeting with him here in Arizona when we came in on one of the visits that we had from the college players, and really got excited just sitting down and talking ball with him initially before I'd watched any film, really, to be honest with you. I had not seen any film on him, and just talking to him about his passion, his love for the game, and how he loves the Cardinals, you know, being from here and what he's done and how he kind of grew up here and everything. It was just kind of neat to get to know him as a person. And then you start talking ball with him and talking about, you know what he's learned up to this point in time, his route technique, how he attacks certain leverages on defenders. And I'm going, man, I can't wait to watch this guy's tape. Mm. And then I'm talking to Kevin and the rest of the personnel department, talking about the type of player he is. You know, it's obvious on film. This guy can go in there and slot and win against the majority of the guys that he's playing against. So he's going to be exciting to work with.
Christian Kirk was saying that, hey, I can be wherever they need me to be. And you had mm-hmm. said earlier that you're going to put these guys in the best positions to succeed, wherever that might be. So is there a comfort level in terms of being able to move Christian Kirk around, despite him maybe not having the biggest size in the league?
Yeah, you have to do that. We're going to move everybody around, and you can't just line the guy up in the same spot every time. So that's something that we're going to do. We're going to move Larry around. And, you know, I think Christian's got to be excited, too, just to learn from Larry.
Yeah.
And we keep on mentioning the two of them, and it's just, you know, very similar to what I said about Josh with Sam. These two young players are really going to benefit to working with two great players and, you know, great people that want to help the younger players.
Your fourth-rounder, Chase Edmonds, out of Fordham, the running back, he's also known for some pretty advanced receiving skills, the little bit we understand on him.
He's had a lot of production in college, so he was fun to watch on tape. You turn the film on every game he was in, he was very productive. So we're going to find a role for him somehow.
Interesting. Because I think a lot of people said, well, wait a minute, TJ, Logan's coming back.
Yeah.
But the way Steve kind of described it, Logan's more straight-line speed, and Edmonds can really make you look bad in space. Laterally, he's got a lot of quicks.
You can never have enough good players. You know, you build the roster for depth. We tell everybody on offense, hey, if you've got a jersey on game day, we're going to try to use you, or you're going to be involved in the kicking game at a certain time, you know, up until you have a role on offense. So, hey, we're all selfish as coaches in this business. We want as many explosive players as we can get, and I thank them for getting these players.
When it comes to the third-round pick, Mason Cole,
yeah.
Played all over the offensive line at Michigan. With where you are with this offensive line, and obviously you made some additions in free agency with Andre Smith and Justin Pugh, and kind of how you guys are trying to structure things, do you kind of like the group that you have at this point? Is there any concerns anywhere on there?
I think the front's done a great job up until this point. You know, we've had a limited amount of time with them on the field, and we are in shorts. So that's not the way the game's played. But we're excited with where they're at. They think they've done a great job learning and asking questions. Someone like AQ up front, very intelligent center that runs the show up there. Him and the quarterback are going to make all the calls. But I'm excited for the way they've prepared on a daily basis, the question they've been asking, and then adding someone like Mason to the line is going to be great. You always, like I said, just same thing with the skilled players. You can never have enough of good offensive linemen. And, you know, I have always told them the offensive line is going to take us as far as we can go. And because if you don't have those five guys, we might be playing with a big tight end, put a tackle out there to play tight end some. And tackles out there, we're looking for you guys to catch the ball too. If you guys can play tight end and run routes for us too, hey, we'll throw it to you if you can get open. But, you know, seeing someone like Mason, his position flexibility, from playing, you know, center to the, you know, going out there and playing tackle, the production he's had, he's played all positions. So he'll be a nice addition to our team up front.
Now, I'm pretty sure Trent Dilfer was not talking about the line of scrimmage when he said Cardinals practice, quote, will be art, end quote. But he was talking about your quarterbacks, in particular mm-hmm. Sam Bradford, and now the addition of Josh Rosen. What have you seen out of Bradford so far? Because since we talked to you last in the Big Red Rage, you actually have been on the field mm-hmm. with some of these sessions. What have you seen so far?
Turn his tape on. Everything people have seen on Sundays, Mondays, Thursday nights, whenever day he's played, He's as accurate as they come, and it's effortless for him to throw the ball. You go out there and really watching him throw yesterday, you know, because everyone's kind of picking up each day a little, you know, the tempo picks up. We're a little more comfortable with things. You're a little quicker with your decisions, but the ball really was flying out of his hand really nice yesterday. So he's going to be fun to work with. I'm excited for it.
In the little bit the media has seen, I mean, he's been on the move. You've rolled him out. He doesn't have a knee brace on. I mean, he looks pretty fluid.
Looks great out there.
Interesting.
I'm excited to work with him.
Look into your crystal football for us, because I think most fans are curious. What is this offense going to look like? What can you tell us right now? Is it classified? I mean, what can you tell us about what this offense will look like? What sort of personality or identity?
Well, we're going to build our identity in training camp. I think right now we really are teaching everybody the system. It's the first year. So, and we're learning a lot as coaches also. This is the first time we've all worked together as a coaching staff. So we're really just teaching the basics of our system and trying to build our core and introducing everybody or all the players to what we're going to work on moving forward. There's a limited amount of time for that right now with all the CBA agreements and everything. So we're throwing a lot at these players. So we come to training camp, we're going to put the pads on. We'll figure out really what we're good at.
When you talk about you're limited out there. There's only so much you can do. In phase two right now, you can't even go offense versus defense.
Yeah.
So is this more about you teaching the players at this point? Are you doing much evaluating of players right now? Or is it a lot more you guys teaching them and then the evaluation comes later when, you know, you do have pads on and you are doing offense, defense, that kind of thing?
Well, we're always evaluating the roster. But number one, we're teaching everyone the system. And I've told the players, listen, all the mistakes, those are on me right now. You know, they're always going to be on me as the coordinator and as a coach. You know, so if there's a mistake in a game, that's on us. It starts with the coaches, so we got to fix those problems. But I told all the players from day one, I'm going to tell the rookies next week when they come in here too, study when you leave the facility, okay? Learn the system, ask good questions. But the off-season program is to learn and understand how we're going to do things. Put yourself in a position come training camp to be on the 53. So when you have an opportunity to go and play in the preseason games, you know what to do, you know how to do it, and you go out there and execute whatever day we're playing in the preseason so that you can have one of these 53 spots.
How much do you still have to learn about your team, right? And you and all the coaches, right? Because the players are learning the system, but since you haven't been on the field full go yet, how much are the coaches still yet to learn about the roster?
Oh, there's a ton to learn. Like we said, we're just introducing everything to everybody. And, you know, we've spent time in the meetings and everything, but – we got a couple more weeks and we get into the OTAs. We have the 10 OTA practices, then the mandatory mini camp and training camp. But we've got a lot to learn about each other, players, coaches, as an organization, how we're doing things. As a football team, we're learning a lot about the personalities of our team. So we got a ways to go.
So do you get kind of geeked up and excited thinking, I can't wait to get to training camp when we all kind of go full bore? Or are you more like, we need all the time we can get right now to get ready for that before we get there, so I don't want to rush anything?
I'm taking it one day at a time right now. It's not like it's the third or fourth year in the system with the guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have new players coming in next week. It's that time of the year where you just, okay, hey, let's just slow everything down and let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. And I got to tell the coaches too, hey, listen, when I start throwing too many ideas out there, just tell me to slow down. But I see certain things. There's certain things I want to do with the players. You bring some new players in. You want to, you know, you see what their skill sets are. You want to make some adjustments. And you start learning about, you know, working with someone like Dave in the backfield. Let's start, you know, adjusting. Well, hold on. We got to teach the basics for it. We got to, you know, there's a progression to teaching also. So as coaches, we got to kind of settle down a little bit and training camp will be here before we know it.
It's true.
The fact that Sam Bradford has had like 7 or 8 systems, you know, by his count, is that an advantage? Is that a disadvantage? I mean, is that good? He's learned it before. He can learn a new one again. Where are you on that?
Well, he's going to have no problem learning our system. He's done it like we talked about earlier. He's done a great job to this point in time. We're just going to build. And, the number one thing I've got to do is find out what he likes best and what he's best at in our system. And then, you know, we're going to tweak some things as time goes, too.
Hey, we enjoyed it. Thank you for the insight.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
There you go. Mike McCoy, Cardinals offensive coordinator on the Big Red Rage, back right after this.
Rodgers looks to throw and fires right side. Back shoulder toss. It's caught by Jennings. Touchdown. That's what Aaron Rodgers does best.
You haven't seen a back shoulder fade like you've seen out of Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
And that is the comp. That, man, if you want to dream big, big, big dreams as to what Josh Rosen might develop into, you buy into the talk in those pre-draft comparisons that they have similar personalities, similar accuracy, similar competitive drive. Once again, Wolf, I'm not allowing myself, okay? And moment, so like when you have the box of chocolates and you're trying to have some self-discipline, I'm trying to have some self-discipline and not evoking the name Aaron Rodgers when it comes to Josh Rosen.
Well, life is like a box of chocolates, Paulie. Okay. Like, look, hey, you know what? It's interesting because that was the back shoulder fade. And as we all know, there's nobody. There is nobody in the NFL, nor was there anybody that has ever played the quarterback position in the National Football League that threw the back shoulder fade better than Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. It is indefensible, basically. It's a situation where Aaron Rodgers is throwing the ball to a point based on where that cornerback is in relation to the wide receiver, where he's running. And you can't be right. You cannot be right. Even the best corners in the National Football League, the best corners in the world, have a hard time against the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers stopping the back shoulder fade.
Well, among other things, one thing Josh Rosen is known for is the propensity to ask the question, why? A member of the Y generation. Now, that might have scared some teams. But you heard Mike McCoy moments ago here in the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford, Ron Wolfley, Paul Calvisi. You heard Mike McCoy, the offensive coordinator, say that's the way he teaches. He's always instructing why we're doing this, why we're installing that, not just to the quarterbacks, the entire offense. So, you know, to me, that seems like a good fit. Just a superficial initial observation.
Yeah.
I bring that up because, you know, that why question was being asked between Josh Rosen and Aaron Rodgers. It was part of a documentary that Aaron Rodgers is helping produce, and it was highlighting several draft prospects along the way, right? They're preparing for the draft, and there was a bunch of advice, including, Wolf, here you go, all right, tips on how to throw the deadly back shoulder fade.
Back shoulder, remember, is a transition throw.
What do you mean?
I'm here, and I'm moving on second movement as a defender. Right when you do that, I'm transitioning to get to your top shoulder. As I transition, the ball's coming behind your head. You have no chance. And then back shoulder in the field is a reaction throw.
A lot of what you're trying to do is just build in to make it like more reaction-based rather than thought-based. And do you just try to basically mess with yourself throughout practice and try to create those situations?
Yeah, I need a little stimulation out there.
Yeah.
I've been at it 13 years.
There you go, Aaron Rodgers and Josh Rosen interacting and talking ball.
You know, to me right there, the transition throw, of course, he's talking about being in the red zone. He's talking about being close to the goal line, maybe on the 7-yard line, the 10-yard line, the 15-yard line, a back shoulder quickly where it's a transition throw. That, to me, means as soon as he turns his head, that ball is coming out because he's turned his head, right? You don't want to give him the opportunity to see where that ball is. Out on the field is a reaction throw, and what he was talking about, the reaction throw, at least from my perspective, is the fact that where that DB is aligned, I have to react to where he is and throw the ball accordingly. Sometimes it's going to be over the top. Sometimes it's going to be behind. It's a back shoulder fade is not always a back shoulder. All right, it's kind of a misnomer when you think about it, Paulie, because sometimes if that DB is running behind the wide receiver, that quarterback's going to throw it over the top.
Hmm.
But most of the time, you don't get a wide receiver that just beats a DB that cleanly where the DB's running on his hip behind him. And if he's running on his hip behind him, he's going to throw it over the top. Now, if he's running side by side, which is the vast majority of times, now comes the back shoulder throw. And that's where Aaron Rodgers shined. But you know what? Honestly, wouldn't you love to see Josh Rosen be able to pick this up? This is what still Larry Fitzgerald still would be able to run that route and execute that route better than most wide receivers in the game.
And you heard Mike McCoy talk about what Josh Rosen is going to learn from Sam Bradford. By the way, if you go to Cardinals Flight Plan right now, it's on azcardinals.com, the all-access sort of documentary bi-weekly of the Cardinals offseason. You will see a moment where Josh Rosen is en route to the Cardinals headquarters, and he gets a text from Sam Bradford. Great moment. He reads the text. You got to check that out. But Mike McCoy brought up how much Christian Kirk will learn from Larry Fitzgerald. And it was interesting to see the photos. You know, we just heard from Josh Rosen with Aaron Rodgers, and you can see that video on YouTube. But There's also the photos of when these two guys were high school standouts, Christian Kirk and Josh Rosen, in that 2014 class, and how they got to know each other. And now they're going to be united, obviously, with the Cardinals, and they'll be in that rookie minicamp throwing to one another.
Well, first of all, Christian Kirk's going to have the opportunity here with the Arizona Cardinals because they are rebuilding that wide receiver room, right?
No doubt.
He's going to get the opportunity. Number two, he's in a horizontal offense, the Mike McCoy horizontal offense, where they're going to get the ball out of Sam Bradford's hand, and they're going to do it quickly, right? That, to me, bodes well for Christian Kirk. He's already been in a very horizontal type of offense right now. Number three, it's Sam Bradford, for the crying out, one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the National Football League, with Larry Fitzgerald, the Grandmaster Guru Sensei, teaching him how to run short and intermediate routes. That, to me, is a combination. Oh, by the way, throw in David Johnson and all the attention that David Johnson will glean from defensive coordinators. And I'm telling you right now, Paul, a geek-out moment for me. I don't talk about rookies like this very often. I reject rookies out of hand for the most part. But Christian Kirk, he might light it up. If there's one guy that I think could light it up for the Cardinals this year, it'd be the rookie, Christian Kirk.
There are a lot of evaluators who have come out and said they had a first-round grade on Christian Kirk. There are guys on NFL Network we saw moments ago saying they're expecting a 1,000-yard receiving season. And right away I'd say pump the brakes and just stop.
I know.
Okay, give me your car keys, just hang on. But what did he do as a true freshman in A&M? He was stellar. His first game against ASU, we ripped off 2 touchdowns.
Paul, I geeked out a little bit when Steve Keim drafted the Badger in the 3rd round. I geeked out then, and I geeked out a little bit when they got Christian Kirk in the 2nd.
So these guys are proven at the next level of just getting traction right away. Josh Rosen was the first ever true freshman to start a UCLA season opener. Think about some of that. We'll come back. We'll talk more about this. We'll talk about the big picture with the Big Red. It is the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
You go back to January 22nd when I was hiring. There was questions. You know, here's a guy with no NFL head coaching experience. You have no quarterback on the roster. The offensive line has a lot of holes. There's a lot of questions about this team. Sight is totally different from vision. You gotta sometimes see past the difficulties. We had a plan, we had a vision, we got better.
There is no doubt the Arizona Cardinals have hit the Big Red reset button on this roster. The GM, Steve Keim, the head coach right there, Steve Wilks. Not just in the who, but the how they've gone about it, the DNA of the team. All you have to do is walk out and watch one of these offseason practices, and Wolf, you've been there, I've been there. And then you watch the head coach run gassers with the team. You just see a team that's a little bit on edge, Wolf. You've been there and done that. A new coaching staff, guys don't have the equity build up with a former coaching staff. There's just that extra layer of intensity this offseason.
All you need to know is Larry Fitzgerald even commented on that and said, you know what, every time there's a coaching change, you feel like you have to prove yourself. And you know what? He's not joking around. A little bit of butterflies right there coming from a guy that is a surefire Hall of Famer. But he's right.
It is the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, wrapping up this edition. Let's get a couple of quick comments and some of the other draft picks, because some of these guys could play a vital role, like a Mason Cole, versatile guy who, hard to believe, a true freshman could walk into Michigan and start on the offensive line.
Truly incredible right there. We talked about the four things the Arizona Cardinals I thought were going to be goals coming in. The location and acquisition of a franchise quarterback, they've done that. The rebuild of the wide receiver room, I think they've done that largely. Chad Williams, I have great expectations of him stepping up as well. They brought in Bryce Butler, a guy that you can go over the top. And then, of course, it was rebuilding that offensive line. And I think they have done that with a mixture of young guys that can play right now, like a DJ Humphreys. Hopefully he's going to be healthy, right? Bringing back guys who can play that are brawlers, right? Mike Upati. Justin Pugh, of course, a guy that is a potential Pro Bowler. And then Andre Smith, a guy that is a better run blocker than pass protector, but a guy that I think is a pro's pro out at right tackle. A.Q. Shipley, of course. Now you bring in some of these young guys. Hopefully Evan Bame, you're going to develop him a little bit. And now Mason Cole, a guy that can play anywhere across the board. forward. Steve Keim told me he can play all five positions, center all the way out to tackle, right? A guy that is very, very versatile as well, Paul. He's blocked in the power scheme. He's blocked in the zone scheme. That's the great thing about coming from Michigan. Jim Harbaugh, of course, uses and blends the old with the new. The power scheme that's very, very popular in the NFL, of course, with a zone scheme as well. You got to be able to do both. Mason Cole is going to go a long way in providing depth on that offensive line.
And if you bring in a fourth-round running back like a Chase Edmonds, who among all running backs of the combine had the best time in the three-cone and the shuttle drills, and he's supposedly lethal in space, a T.J. Logan is coming back who had the fastest 40 of any running back. We saw him flash in the first half of the Hall of Fame game. You start to get a sense, you know what? I think the rest of the NFL is sleeping on the number of weapons the Cardinals might have on offense.
Well, the kid from Fordham, Chase Edmonds, right? 5'9", 205.
Yep.
Good luck tackling that. That's going to be a little bit of a brick to your face.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Big Red Rage. Special thanks, as always, Jim Omohundro, Cody Fincher. For Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. Yes, the Cardinals have hit the reset button. The draft is over. If you believe that Josh Rosen is a home run, then you believe the analysts who say the Cardinals just won the draft.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3,
let's go! And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
Woo! What's up, bro?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.